Thank you. Now I'll give to you our speaker for the evening, Elder Jerry Case.
Good evening. This may be the first time I actually had my mic turned on when I started talking up here. Just realized that. I want to greet each of you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Very much appreciated the words of the sermon this morning. I'd like to start in Moroni, the 7th chapter. Anybody here ever watched the Olympics? You have a favorite sport that you like to watch, or probably varies among you? I like a lot of them. One of the ones that seems to hold me in suspense during the whole performance is kind of the gymnastic side of it. And take, for instance, when the guys get up on the horizontal bar and they're swinging all around it and jumping off of it and landing and all this stuff, you know. The whole time you're wondering, are they going to catch themselves on that next flip around and all that? And there's a lot of neat stuff to watch. It's a very exciting sport. Very hard. Obviously, they prepared for it. They practiced a lot. But you're always kind of held in suspension for something right at the end. You wonder, as the judges are counting up the points and stuff, what's the last part of it? Are they going to stick the landing? Are they going to stick the landing? And that's what I'd like to kind of have in the back of your minds today. Because there's so many things that we can use to try to perform well. Personal practice, school, many, many things that we use. Training to try to do a good performance in this life. But I believe that the way to stick the landing is very narrow. It's part of the narrow way, not the broad way. And this morning's service, the sermon dwelt on being perfect. But it also explained a little why. And I'm going to go more into that. So let's start reading on the 7th chapter of Moroni, the 50th verse. I'm going to read through 53. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. That we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. Perfection. I had about 2 weeks ago, a real learning opportunity. I had worked late on Friday, and when I got home, about the time I walked in my house and set things down, the phone rang, and it was a brother calling me from Missouri. And somebody had found him online and was seeking help. And so he called me to see if there was any possibility that I could try to help. It was a woman that lives in Tucson. And when she talked to him, she was very fearful. She had blood clots in her lungs. She was very fearful, very ill. And so she hadn't been to church in years, many, many years. And she had this memory of when she was a little kid. She went to the RLDS church. And she remembered that at church she saw elders lay their hands on the sick and that they would be healed. And that's what she was seeking, and she didn't know where to find it. So she called my brother in Missouri, and he called me, and so I called one of my brothers here, and we ended up, took us a little while to find her. All we had was a phone number, and finally she answered her phone, and we headed down to see her. And it was kind of neat because it's a little ways to Tucson. And by the time I got a hold of her, it was after 7 in the evening. And I said, well, you know, it's going to take me a while to get there. Is that going to be okay? It'll be kind of late. And she said, I don't care. I'll be right here. And she was excited. And so we got in the car and headed down there. And we administered to her. But the learning thing for me was something that's not about words. It was something about an example. Because before we administered to her, and not knowing her at all, I actually asked her, I said, do you mean for us as elders to anoint your head with oil and put our hands on you and pray to God that you'd be healed? And she said, that's exactly what I want. And so we knelt and we had prayer. And after the two of us had finished praying, I looked to her and I said, would you like to say a prayer? And this is time to learn, because she looked at me kind of shocked, and she was sitting in a chair. And she goes, oh, I don't know. And then she just fell forward and clapped her hands together. Her prayer was something like, oh, please, 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 please. God, please help me, help me. I don't know what to do. It wasn't very orderly. It was just the very embodiment of every fear, of every need that was within her, and she just poured it out before him. And I think, as I read this 7th chapter, what is this praying with all the energy of our heart? about the most important thing to our life eternal. This charity, this pure love of God, which when all other things fail, it does not. Can we see ourselves praying like that? Do we understand how big and important charity is? This special kind of love, this kind of love for our God. Each of us have things that we face, things that we do, and as we go about those things, you know, we think about how to face them. I've heard kids talking about going away to college. And are they ready yet? Can they withstand the temptation? Parents look at their children and they wonder, what's going to happen at school today? Will they be okay? They pray that God will take care of them. But this is at the core of all of it. This very special love. I'm going to turn over to 3 Nephi. And I'm going to start in the 6th chapter. I'm going to start reading with verse 19, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. It says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoso heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I think about some of the things I've read about here, about false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, about building our house on the sand. Modern Christianity even is filled with other teachings. Some I would hesitate to just call evil, but it seems like they are different. I've heard the gospel of prosperity, that if you're a true follower of Christ, you will be profitable. You will obtain wealth. You become very rich as to things of this world. I've heard the gospel of destitution, I would call it, where if you have any riches in this world, you're not going to go to heaven. These things get taught. There's a church that its only growth comes through new members because they don't believe that even in marriage should there be any man and woman type love, and they shouldn't have children. There's all kinds of teachings out there. And teachings in the name of Christianity. False prophecy. A house that's built upon the sand. If we're gonna spend our eternity with God, we can't wait till then. We have to fasten to Him now. Brought a salt shaker. Probably by its shape, you figured it was salt and not sugar or something else, but salt shaker. We have to be founded upon Him. It describes in Matthew about being salt and light. And it talks about that if the salt loses its savor, that it's not any good. And I think of this salt in here. Is it good? Can you tell from there? I've heard a lot of sermons about all the characteristics of salt, and there's a lot of neat stuff about sodium chloride, which is what this is. Didn't know you were sprinkling sodium chloride on stuff, did you? It's an interesting molecule. Chloride is a large atom. And I don't know if you remember the sermon that our brother Glenn Orsted gave, where it talks about, you know, the size of an atom is more about the orbits of the electrons and how many protons and neutrons are in the nucleus, and the mass of it is immeasurably small. It's more like the size is how big the orbits are in this atom. Chlorine, fairly large atom. Sodium, very small atom. And the bonds are pretty strong. But there's a distance between them. And because of that, and the fact that they tend to bond cubically, like a chloride, a chloride, a sodium, and it comes out in a matrix that's cubical. And for that reason, even if you take a big chunk of salt, no matter how small you crush it up, if you look at it under a microscope, the tiniest little crumb of it is still a little cube. It's kind of neat. And it has to do with the relationship with those that those atoms have and the type of bond that it forms. So, neat thing about salt. Boy, didn't you learn a lot? And I know you're going to go out there and be better Christians for it, you know. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't know that when I was a little kid, but I love salt. I love the way it tastes. And now in my old age, I found out that I have a chronic shortage. Living here in Arizona, and I tend to have a low sodium, so I have to concentrate on making sure I get enough salt. Salt's a neat thing. What were we talking about? In the Olympics, when that guy's going to go up there and he's going to swing around on that big old horizontal bar, he steps out to the mat. He has this straight, erect posture, and he just stands there. Lots of times he's up on his toes, and he'll kind of signal. I don't know if that signals to the judge or to his coach or whatever it is. But he's kind of like that. You don't know a lot about it yet. You kind of take it for granted that he's practiced. You kind of take it for granted that he has spent a lot of time doing this and he's practiced. And you look and you see he's got muscles. Salt is white. So, and the shape of the shaker makes you think this has got to be salt, you know. And so you look at this guy standing on the mat, and maybe he's prepared. Maybe he's the best in the world. But you don't know. You don't know. He's standing there in his shaker. Hasn't done anything for you yet. Third Nephi, the fifth chapter. Twenty-ninth verse. It's at the top of page 634 in my book. Third Nephi, chapter 5, verse 29, and I'll read to 43. And there shall be no disputations among you as there hath hitherto been. Neither shall there be disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine, as there hath hitherto been. Right before this, he told them how to do baptism. And so he's telling them, don't argue about it anymore. Do it the way I say it. But then he's saying, but there's also, you know, disputations among you concerning other points of my doctrine. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, which is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger, one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine to stir up the hearts of men with anger one against another, but this is my doctrine that such things should be done away. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine, and this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. So even Jesus tells us here, I did not invent it. This is my Father's doctrine. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine, and this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe on me, or believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me believeth in the Father also, and unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record of me, of the Father, and will bear record of him unto him, of the Father and me. For the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child, and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name, and become as a little child, as ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And who shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil. It is not built upon my rock. But he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such. When the floods come and the winds beat upon them, therefore go forth unto this people and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth. And I think of becoming as a little child, you know, and even when we look at this little salt shaker, you see it's white. That's how we think of children, as being innocent, white. And even as Aaron spoke this morning, you know, that when we're striving to be perfect and we commit sin, that there is a way back through the blood of Christ. It says in the Bible, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, he will wash you. Be white as snow. There's a way back. But it's only in and through him. He's the foundation. And I think of this pure love of Christ that we spoke about first. Because that very reading ends that we will be purified even as he is pure. Just like Aaron read this morning about being perfect, it says that we're supposed to be perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect. So it gives us that standard. It's not just perfect as we might surmise it in a human sense, but perfect. Perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. This morning I was preaching on phone church, and I was going to give this example. And while I was talking, I don't think I was thinking very much about what I was actually kind of unconsciously doing, but the lid was really crooked on this little thing. And so I thought, oh, that's on there crooked, you know. So I loosened it up. When I got done loosening it and straightening it, I had salt all over the table, all over my books and my hands. I had it everywhere. But I thought of the people on phone church, scattered abroad. Florida, Texas, Missouri. Where all of the people been from? Nevada, Alaska. I can't even think. Ohio. Indiana for about 3.5 years. People near Boston. Just all over the place. All over the place. Like salt on my kitchen table. And that's one of the things I want you to be thinking about is, you know, in here, this salt is not doing much. When we end the service tonight, and you head back to work, you head back to school, you head back to play, you head back to the freeway to drive, then those characteristics are going to show. That's when the savor of that salt really counts. That's when we really get to serve the Lord. I tend to look at church like halftime of a football game. You come in off the field and you've played hard and you've done your best and you kind of get a chance to take a time out. You get to think about, you know, what worked, what didn't work. Am I doing okay? Where am I failing? And you get to take time with God and relook at that bond of perfectness that Aaron read about this morning in Colossians. That pure love of Christ, that charity. You get to look at that, rethink it, and then go back into the game. Hopefully improved, strengthened, a greater savor, as salt. I think of the statement in the fifth chapter of St. John, first chapter of St. John in the fifth verse, where it talks about that Christ, well, I should read it, shouldn't I? I'll just read the first five verses of the first chapter of John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Let me go on. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I think about the importance of our walk in this life. Before I came over here tonight, I was actually thinking a little bit about our congregation. Trying to think of how to ask this. How did you come to be here? Think about it. Some of you might have kind of been born here. This is what you've always known. Others of you, that's not really true. Because I can't say a minister brought you all. Not as we think of it. Some of us came because we had a friend at work that just spoke up. Think of the readings I've done today and how it talks about the foundation of Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I tend to think of those things in relation to a church service. How important those things are in our everyday walk. The power of the Holy Ghost to work in us. To reach out that not everybody ends up not recognizing the light. Would you like for everywhere you go, there's no one that perceives the light? Because the Lord worked in you. We can't This is good salt, okay? It is salt. It's not something else. But right now it's in a glass container. We got to be shaken out on the world. We got to do the work that He means for us to do. We need to, you know, I say we need to speak up. We need to be brave in talking to one another. And we just simply need to be a good example. It's, you know, I think of preparing for this sermon tonight and the fact that it was scheduled beforehand. It was scheduled beforehand. And I had time to prepare, study, look things up, think about what I might say. But the sermon that you and I actually bear, the sermon we give walking through life, we don't get that same opportunity for. We get these few minutes together. But you know, Monday, my boss came to me as I was going through the clinic out there on near Fountain Hills. And she said, it may be a little weird around here today. And she told me who. It was one of the people in our department. Her daughter was in a tragic car accident. And it was very bad. They did not expect her to live. And, you know, you walk into those things. You don't know how to prepare. And I just said, you know, I'm going to pray for her. I don't know what else to do. And so my boss said, well, yeah, we can pray for her. That's all we can do. And so we went on. And so every time I thought about her, somebody I don't know, every time I thought about her, I'd pray. And I would think about what it would be for me if my daughter was in the hospital that gravely injured. It bore heavy on me, and it helped me to pray. Helped me to pray as that example that I gave you about this woman down in Tucson, but I related it to praying with that same fervor for that pure love of God, that thing that never fails. And so I prayed for her through the week, and every day I would kind of check in, and it was not good. It was really not good. That was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Checked in Thursday, and my boss said, you know, it's still not good, but they took her off the ventilator, and she's breathing on her own so far. I said, well, good, good. I'll keep praying. Friday, ran into my boss in the hall, and she looked at me, and she goes, you know what? I said, what? She said, she's sitting up on the side of the bed. She's talking. I still don't know her. Never met her. I know that I wasn't the only one praying for her. I know there's probably many. But I said, that's just wonderful. I said, that's a complete turnaround. That's so different than the story we've had every day. And she said, well, it's the power of prayer. I didn't get a rehearse for that. My boss didn't get a chance to rehearse for that either. But you know, we have a different relationship. There's going to be things we can talk about that we couldn't have before. Are you ready? Are you ready to be dismissed? Are you ready to go out founded on Christ into this world, to bear witness of Him, bear witness of that light? When I was a kid, I got really excited about some things at church. One of the things I could never do was talk in front of people. I could clown around and get in trouble when I was in school. I could do things like that, but to stand up in front of me, in front of people and have attention on me, I just couldn't talk. And I finally got up and gave a testimony one time. And the power of the Holy Ghost descended on me so strongly when I stood to speak that I just couldn't hardly speak. And a few weeks later, I tried it again. It still wasn't any better. But I never wanted to not feel that. To feel Him with me. To feel His Spirit. So I started bearing testimonies more and more often. But for the longest time, you know, testimonies were something I did on like on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night because there wasn't very many people there. Not as many people as like on a Sunday. And to bear a testimony at school, that it took me a long time to start getting to where I could do that. But you know, I made a different kind of friend when I started doing that at school. Cindy and I found that when we went out to Ohio and we didn't know what to do there. You know, we figured God had us there for a purpose. Where do you start? In fact, I tended to think so wrong that when we would have church together there at the house and the kids' friends would come during the service, you know, I'd say, you know, every week at this time we're having church. Come back. Come back afternoon. You know, it took me so long to say, Jerry, what are you doing? You know, and to say, we're having church. Did you want to come in? And it was funny because the first time I did that, they just kind of looked at me stunned and said, no, we'll come back afternoon. Off they went. But you know, the next week they came, and when I invited them, they came in for church. Think about it. Most of the opportunities you're not going to be able to just think and prepare for. It's got to be something that's in your heart. A love for God that you cannot wait to share. That's the point. Having that great love, that great desire in your heart, you don't need to prepare the same. You're kind of already prepared. And things like good works, things like the testimonies of His work in your life, they kind of start to boil out. He helps you. He helps you with it. I thought this evening as I came up here, even this morning when I preached on phone church, that if I just read my first scripture, the one in Moroni, about the pure love of Christ, that's probably all I needed to do. But I did want to spend a little time talking about it and letting you think and prepare for tomorrow. Prepare to be the salt of the earth. Chapter 7 of Moroni, starting with verse 44. But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you. For I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you, that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, to be raised unto life eternal. And this because of your faith in him, according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the end, at the last day, it shall be well with them. Whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be pure, even as he is pure. Amen. May we go out and perform well. Outside the shaker. And may we endure to the end. Let's stick the landing.